I'll be reading from Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you, who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in him himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, we thank you for this day, this time where we can join together and worship you. We thank you that we can join together with other Christians to immerse ourselves in your teaching. We thank you for this sermon series that we're enjoying right now in Ephesians. And Lord, help us to know what to do with the knowledge that we learn through this as we grow as a body. And Lord, as we look to the coming weeks and months, as we start up small groups in Sunday school and we get into this busy time of the year, Lord, that we would grow together as families and as a family of God. Lord, this morning we ask that our worship would be pleasing to you, that the words we sing would be sincere from our hearts. And Lord, that the worries of the week, the stresses that we walked in the building with would just fade away. Lord, that you are worthy of our praises. And Lord, you are Lord of creation and Lord of our lives. And we want to magnify you. We want to raise your name up. We want to sing your praises today and proclaim your greatness. And Lord, we ask that as we continue after the service and fellowship into the picnic, that everyone here today would just feel welcome and that we would help to create that welcoming atmosphere as we continue to grow as a group, as a church here. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Has he captured your heart with his love? Isn't it wonderful that we have a God who has drawn us to himself out of love? We have the privilege this morning of dedicating two young children to the Lord, Jazz and Juliet Madison. In anticipation of this dedication, I could think of no better scripture to commit to you than that found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God, the God who has pursued us, the God who has drawn us to himself through his love, calls us to reciprocate that love. That's all he desires. Listen to these words. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today, says Moses, shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons and daughters, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, or when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is really what parenthood is all about. It's passing on a rich relationship that captures our children's hearts and holds them, regardless of whether we're in their lives or not. They have this God consciousness, this love, a reciprocating love. It begins with a personal, over the top, all out kind of love for God yourself. If you want to pass something on, it's got to be real first, right? This type of love is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's an everyday commitment, a sold out surrender to the one that you have chosen to make first and foremost. These words are always to be on our hearts, not just in our heads, but we communicate them to our children from our guts, our hearts, our affection, because we're passing this on with a passion that sells our Lord, not just a head knowledge that's academic, like taking your kid out and showing them the stars and saying, these are the constellations that you should think about and maybe memorize and be able to identify. Now, this is about God possessing them, owning them, them surrendering to Him. These words and their import are to be shared creatively by parents to their children. It could be through images, through nature. It could be through metaphors. God is like your daddy who loves you, your mother who nurtures you. God is like. It could be in so many ways, situations of life, analogies. I used to tell kids stories and try to weave in the points that I wanted to tell them in ways that were creative. These words and thoughts, this command is to be shared continuously throughout the day. When you sit down and when you rise up and when you lie down at night and when you get up the next morning and when you walk in the way, it's like all the time. It's not just a Sunday morning, go to Sunday school and get recharged, kids. It's a continuous thing. And who's really responsible for communicating this relationship with God? Primarily, it's the parents. It's the command is to parents. This is what you're to do with your children. So, I'd like to call up Jeremiah and Rebecca and family, if you would, and the two stars of our show, Juliet and Jazz. And we're going to dedicate them together as a congregation. We're going to dedicate them to the Lord. Isn't she beautiful? Hi, Jazz. You're handsome. I see. Squeeze together. Let me get this out of your way. Does someone have a camera? They can take a picture for them. Come on over here so we can get you in the photo. Can I hand that to someone? Gail, would you take it on their phone? I'm sure you could probably send it to them. But okay, you can take a photo. Okay, Jeremiah and Rebecca, you have two beautiful, wonderful children. And you have initiated this event because you want to commit these children to the Lord in a public fashion. You want to say, these children are a gift from God, and we're giving them back to the Lord. Knowing that you only have your children for a short time in life, And it's our responsibility to train them up in the ways of the Lord, to impart to them a relationship with God, to model that before them, and then to send them off. And by the grace of God, which we all depend on, that becomes a successful launch. I hear you're not going to be with us too much longer. You found a place in Selkirk?
Selkirk, New York.
So that's about an hour, 20 minutes away. They may visit us from time to time, but I have encouraged them to find a good home church there and to really plug in so that that spiritual nurture will continue as Juliet and Jazz continue to grow. Well, we want to dedicate these two to the Lord, and we're so thankful for the parents and for a brother. Is it David?
Dan.
Dale. Dan, I'm sorry. Don't have my hearing aid in. We're so thankful for you and for Uncle. And know that you're going to have part two in their spiritual nurture. So with this supportive family and extended family and the family that we're hoping to send them to, we're asking that God's grace would be rich upon these children and upon this family. Bless them, keep them, and help them to grow in the ways of the Lord. That requires a lot of grace. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you and praise you for this family. We thank you for Jazz and Juliet. And we thank you, Lord, for Jeremiah and Rebecca and for their love for Jesus Christ and their desire to raise their children in the ways of the Lord. We ask, Father, that you would put your hand of blessing upon this family. We ask, Father, that you would go before them as they go off to Selkirk, that you would provide for them financially, that you would provide for them a good church home, that you would provide for them the support that they need to really grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You are faithful, Father. We're so thankful for what you're going to do in their lives. And we look forward to ongoing, continued relationship with them in the years to come. We pray your blessing upon them and upon the family in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Thank you. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. The title of the message today is Grace Breaks Down Walls. Jeremiah, can I hand this to you? This is a certificate. I'm sorry, I forgot to. Thank you. Grace breaks down walls. Have you ever felt like you're on the outside looking into something? I'll tell you what, having just come from Costa Rica and not speaking the language, I really felt that way. People would laugh. I thought they were laughing about me, the gringo, but they probably weren't. But you always feel like, I don't understand. I might get a couple words, but gosh, I'm really on the outside looking in. Or if you're the parent of teens, yeah, you know, you're always on the outside looking in. Everything that happens is in this little, you know, this little world. They understand everything. They get the jokes. They laugh. They know who the celebrities are and what's happening. And you're like, could you fill me in? Yeah, later, Dad. Or you come down with your normal attire on and they turn you around and say, go back and try again. This is 2014, Dad. This is not 1974. Yeah, you feel like you're on the outside looking. How does that feel for you? Like life is passing you by? Like you don't really get it? Like you're lost? Like you're not part? Or maybe you're a minority, you know, in a culture of all one particular race. And you feel like the struggle is, I don't fit in. And people don't treat me the same. You know how that feels. It doesn't feel good. Well, we don't like to be left out. Last week we were at the Big E in Springfield. Does anybody else attend the Big E? No? Those, I see two hands. Three. Okay, admit it. You people who lived here for all your life, you attend the Big E. Well, I did for the first time. But one of the things that was interesting was there's all these exhibition, these little exhibits at the Big E, and people will be talking about their wares that they've brought. If one person stops and starts to listen, someone else will come and stand. And then all of a sudden, you've got three or four people. This critical mass develops. And then nobody wants to leave because everybody thinks they're going to miss something if they leave. And this guy just goes on and on about nothing. You know, but we won't leave because that's what everybody's doing. And we don't want to be left out. Well, in this passage of Ephesians 2, Paul is telling the Christians of Ephesus, these people who were once into worshiping Artemis, this Greek god, or who were into witchcraft or into sorcery, but had now come to Christ. He says, you were on the outside looking in, but now, because of the grace of God, you have been brought in to the inner circle. You're no longer left out. How did you feel when you were outside? He wants to remind them. Last week we talked about that, the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2. What did he say left us out? It was our sin. It was the way it was our nature. That by nature we were children of wrath. We did all the things that didn't please God, and we didn't really have the capacity to change. But then we learned in verse 4, but God, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, made us alive together with Christ. And so we're like, the Calvary has arrived. God has come on the scene. He has sent his Son, who has become like us, fully God and fully man. And he came to redeem us out of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of light. That made all the difference. The one who could judge us is now the one who pours out his love and his mercy and his grace upon us. And we learned that this salvation that we enjoy is by grace through faith. That it's not of ourselves. It's a gift God gives. So you can't glean to sell, but you can't get it. You can't buy it. It's already been purchased. And what he tells us here in this second part of chapter 2 is it has been purchased by Jesus, by Christ alone. How? With payment of his blood. It says he himself is our peace. What did he do? He laid down his life for us willingly. He offered himself up, the perfect Lamb of God, laid down upon the altar, and he took our sins upon himself. All of our sins were transferred onto Christ, and he paid the penalty. So that now if I look upon the Lamb and I say, Lord, Jesus did it all for me. Thank you. I receive him as my Savior. That simple act of faith, that simple act of believing makes me a child of God. He says that once you were on the outside looking in, but now you have become a child of God through faith in Christ. He has become our peace, who offered himself upon the altar for us. At one time, you were separated from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. All the things that God had blessed Israel with, and that they were his children. You remember, he called them through one man, Abraham, way back in the Old Testament. And he took Abraham outside and he said, look up in the sky, count the stars. And he said, I can't count the stars. He says, well, that's how many descendants I'm going to give you. And he's making this promise to a 75-year-old man. He says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So now Paul tells us that those who have the faith of Abraham are also declared righteous because of that faith. By nothing else. We were strangers to the covenants of promise. God owed us nothing, and we had nothing to cling to. We were really in a lost and hopeless condition. We were without God in the world, like ships without a rudder on the sea, right? I mean, it's terrible. There's no hope of survival. But then came Christ, and he offered himself. Times have changed. Jesus Christ, by his blood, has purchased us for himself. And so now we have a relationship with him. There was a man named Don Richardson who wrote a book called Peace Child. In 1962, Don and his wife Carol went to Papua New Guinea to share the gospel with the Sawi people, a people who valued treachery as a virtue. They would intentionally make friends with a tribe that was their enemy, befriend someone in that tribe, build trust so that people would let down their guard, invite them to a large feast, and then they would turn on the person and kill them. And it got worse from there. When Don and his wife Carol tried to share this story of the gospel with the Sawi people, who did they think was the hero of the story? Judas Iscariot. He's the one who had built trust with Jesus, and then he betrayed him with a kiss. Don and Carol were discouraged, and over time they decided they were going to leave, and they told the Sawi people, "We can't stay any longer." They were distressed. They didn't want them to leave. And so as Don and Carol were getting ready to leave, the Sawi people decided they were going to call these two warring enemy tribes together. And one of the men of the Sawi tribe grabbed his child, the one he loved, and he wrapped him up and ran over and handed him to one of his enemies, one of his feared enemies, and gave him up. Don saw that. He said, "Oh, a key to communicating the gospel. This is what I've been looking for." And then he shared with the Sawi people, "This is what God has done. He has so delivered his child, Jesus, over to a warring people, those who were alienated from him. He gave up his own. He himself has become our peace." My question to you, friends, is, have you received the peace child from heaven? Have you really believed upon the Lord Jesus for your salvation? Or have you just been trying to go through the motions, be good, attend church occasionally, try to do the right things, be better than the average? That's a dead end. That's not going to get you to heaven. The only way you'll stand before God one day with the confidence that you have eternal life is by receiving Jesus, the peace child, by faith. That's the only way. Now, there's something else that happened. When Christ died for our sins, he broke down this barrier between us and his chosen people, the Jews. There had been this wall of hostility. After all, they were the ones of the covenant. They had received the promises. God had spoken to them. He'd been patient with them through thick and thin, but they were his people. Now, God is reaching out beyond the Jewish nation to us who are Gentiles. All of us who are non-Jews are included in this group. And he's reaching out to you and he's saying, just like he said to Abraham, "Through you all the nations shall be blessed." Now we have received the blessing of the gospel. What does that do? It breaks down not only the hostility between us and God, but between us and the Jewish people and between us as Gentiles. We have peace, therefore we are people of peace, and we're included as one family in the gospel. Now, we are related not by blood, not by ethnicity, not by language. We're united by Jesus. He has become our union. Just like He's our peace, He's the one around which we find our family. And if you're a child of God, because of faith in Jesus, you belong here. And the relationship that you have with brothers and sisters is closer, is thicker than blood, is stronger than your ethnic relations. It's because Christ has made us part of His family. In heaven, there will be those gathered around the throne from every tribe and every nation and every kindred, every tongue, and will all give praise to the Lamb upon the throne who was slain before the foundation of the world. So what does that do for us, friends? That means that we're brothers and sisters in Jesus. As such, we have a special obligation to each other. Oh, we still tend to sort of get into our little cliques and huddles. You know, the people who are like me around, you know, my age, who, you know, still wear the striped bell bottoms. We can relate with each other, but we have to work. We have to work at getting beyond that. And when we were in Costa Rica, we attended a church. And in that church, there were two services. There was the church for the expatriates, like me. And then there was the church for the Ticos, the indigenous people of Costa Rica. And as soon as we finished, they came in. And all of a sudden, the music got lively and they were, you know, really expressive in their worship. And I thought, why didn't I stay for this one? You know, and I asked someone that was a leader in the church, I said, why aren't you together in one service? Oh, no, we don't do that. We don't understand each other. Said, well, you've been here for 10 years. Don't you understand Spanish? Yeah, we understand language, but there's so many differences. And I said, that ought not to be. Of course there's differences, because you're different cultures, you're different races, but we're one family, and that requires work. But that's work worth working for, isn't it? We're one family in Jesus Christ. So, at Community Bible Church, we so desire to develop and build this oneness that transcends age groups and gender and whatever other social status that may divide us. We so desire to have a oneness here that we're going to focus and launch these small groups in the fall. And it will be the mode, the vehicle through which we begin to shepherd the flock from here on. We want you to be part of a small group where we value one another, because there you will find connections. There you will be challenged spiritually. There are three goals to our small groups. One is to extend grace to one another. One is to proclaim truth to one another and to be truth speakers and bearers in each other's lives. And one is to give each other time in the context of commitment to grow. And with those three values, we're hoping that that will accomplish a greater, richer fellowship in Jesus Christ. And so we're asking that you would stay. We're going to release you early. We'd like you to go out and investigate the tables that we've set up. These tables have the person who's leading, the time, the place, the topic, Some of them are to be announced, but some of them have more of the details. And we'd like you just to plug in. Consider, I'm going to be committed till at least the end around Thanksgiving time. And then if you really, you know, you're in a group and you just don't mesh or you can't make it, but you'd like to reconsider a different group that meets at a different time, then we'll give you opportunity in January to do that. Child care here will end around 11:40. So if you have a child in the nursery or in junior church, by about 20 to 12 or somewhere right around there, please get your child. And then Bryce is going to give us a signal. And at that time, we're going to head to the food and the picnic. And I hope some people brought frisbees to play on the field. Let me just close by saying this. No longer do you and I need to be on the outside looking in. Oh, there's still a lot of things in life that we will be, you know, looking in on and feeling a bit left out. But the thing that really matters is that you're not left out of the kingdom of God. That you put your faith and trust in Jesus, because when everything else is said and done, the only thing that matters is that you belong to Him. And it doesn't matter if you go to church here or in Selkirk or in Florida. But you are fellowshipping with believers where you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask and pray that you would bless our time now as we mingle, as we look through different options as to what we might be involved in between now and Thanksgiving, and that you would deepen the fellowship that we experience at Community Bible Church, that you would deepen the relationship that we have with one another and with you, Father. And my prayer, God, is that if someone here has never received Jesus, our peace, as their Savior, that today might be the day that by faith they would invite you in and become a child of God. We ask you, Father, to bless our time and bless the food that we'll take and share together in a little bit. And we thank you for all that you've done in your Son's precious name. Amen.